Welcome back into the Bun Sports Show. Jacob Bun with you on this Friday as we head into another weekend, growing ever so nearer to college football now, just about a month and a little over 2 months away from the beginning of the season. David Sears is with me on this Friday, and well, Tuesday history was written, and college football finally has a playoff. It is a four-team playoff consisting of four seeded teams. It will begin in 2014. I suppose if they play the games in December, it'll begin in December of 2014 and continue. The contract is through 2025. That is when we will presumably get the 18 playoff. And these teams will be chosen by a selection committee, and the semifinals will be held at current bowl sites, and the national championship game will be given to the highest bidder. The interesting thing about this is it will be a rotation of six bowls. But that's where we are now. College football finally has a playoff. All of the advocates can rejoice. All of those who were against the playoff, well, they're out of luck. Sears, just talk a little bit about this. Put this in perspective. What does this mean for college football?
This is a big deal for college football. We've seen multiple instances where there have been questions about who should be in the championship game. 2004 with Auburn, when they were left out, when Oklahoma and USC were there. 2008, when Texas beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma was in the championship game instead of Texas. 2009, when I think you had five or six undefeated squads. So, and then of course this year, a lot of people were upset with Oklahoma State being left out of the championship game picture. So this is going to be a band-aid on a bigger wound. I mean, you'll still have people complaining about five being left out, and then you'll have even more complaint if number four seed ever wins the whole thing. They'll be like, well, number five should have had a shot there, which I agree with you. By 2015, we'll, or 2025, we'll definitely see an 18 playoff. There's no way this doesn't expand. This is beginning to a bigger playoff for college football. I mean, it started with two, now we're up to four. I can definitely see eight in 2025, maybe even sooner than that, depending on how successful it is and if we have another controversy that make them have to amend that. But in the grand scheme of things, this is getting to more and more what the anti-DCS people wanted, giving in to their demands. I don't necessarily know if it's better for the fans, because now there's potential if you make a championship game and a conference championship game and a semifinal, you're going to have to pay for 15 tickets. That's just for a single person to attend to all 15 games if they want to follow their team around. So it's taking more money out of the fans' pockets, but it gives a lot of opportunities for that TV money, which is, we both know, the main driving force behind college athletics right now.
It is, and I think you may have a point there about the 18 playoff. Let me just stress that I do not advocate expanding to eight teams. I just said that probably will happen. The way things have gone down in this process, I can see that happening then. But I don't think we need eight teams. I think four is just about the perfect number, because in college football, you only really need four teams. You only really have four teams who are the best in the country. Once you get to about five, six, a lot of years we only have three teams that are the best. But once you get to five, six, seven, and eight, I just don't think they're on the same page, as especially if you look at last year. Of course, last year it was the two best teams and then everybody else. But I think once you get past four, you start to get in teams who really just don't deserve to be here. This is not college basketball, where you have a ton of teams that have a shot. College football is much different, and you play a regular season for a reason. So I'm not advocating an 18 playoff, but I think that there's a chance that it could happen. Let me just really quickly mention that David Sears writes some excellent commentary on this on his website, thedavidsearsexperience.blogspot.com. If you do not check out that daily, and I mean daily because he puts links to other stories on there as well as commentaries each day, then you are missing out. He's also the host of WJOX Game Day Overtime, WJOX 94.5 FM in Birmingham. You can hear that Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m., and sometimes even earlier than that, you can hear David Sears on Saturday. I don't know, Sears. I get up on Saturday morning. It seems like every Saturday morning you're on. It doesn't matter what time it is. You're on Mike and Mike. You're on every show now.
Well, you know, the Lord loves a working man, so I just try to get on there and do the best I can. But it's a fun experience. But going back to the playoff, my biggest concern with this playoff is the selection committee. And we were given some of the criteria for the selection committee. They're going to look at head-to-head records. They're going to look at strength of schedule. They're going to look at whether or not you are a conference champion, and they're going to look at your overall record. And I just think that that conference champion caveat is going to cause some problems, because there are some instances where the best team in the nation will have a co-champion or co-division champion in the same conference. I mean, if you look at 2008, Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech all tied for the Big 12 South title. So you had a three-way tie for that.
And that could have happened last year in the SEC.
If Arkansas would have upset LSU in the final game, you would have had a three-way tie for the SEC West. And I guarantee those three would probably have been in the playoff, and it would have caused a lot of concern, because you would have had three schools from the same conference in there. So you're guaranteed that that conference will have a shot at the title. I don't like that conference champion caveat, because I guarantee you there are some conferences where you're a conference champion, and it's basically an eighth grader playing amongst third graders. It is just not fair to compare conferences that way. And hopefully they'll realize that, you know, this team only had one loss to a conference champion. It was a close loss. And I mean, that Oklahoma Texas game and Alabama LSU, both those were close losses, but they were able to overcome that and play later in the season. Oklahoma, of course, losing to Florida, but Alabama putting on that gutsy performance and beating LSU 21-0 in the national championship game last year. So I'm concerned about who will be on the committee. I'm concerned about the criteria they'll use. I know the Notre Dame athletic director said that the committee will release a top 20 starting midway through the season, much like the BCS does with their current countdown. So we'll see how that goes. But I guarantee you the week that a team that starts off at number three going into last week in the season ends up at number five, there'll be a lot of controversy about that.
There will be. And it all gets started in 2014. Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, was quoted the other day as saying the committee is going to put emphasis on strength of schedule, which I think is pretty reasonable. I would assume that they would. Now, this selection committee has not been chosen yet, but it will be interesting when it does, Sears. And we know down here how college football fans can be. They're very passionate about their game. I mean, can you imagine Twitter on the day that the selection committee is announced and who is on that? Can you imagine the overall reaction to that?
It's definitely going to be a problematic person, because if it's too favored towards one conference, like if there's a lot of Big Ten emphasis on it, or if there's a lot of SEC emphasis on it, then people will claim favoritism right away. So there's no way this committee is going to make everybody happy. I really wish they would have stuck with the BCS computers, just made the formulas transparent with everyone, and let the computers take it. Because, you know, the computers have gotten it right pretty much every year. And I just really feel that the computers only do what they're programmed to do. If there's bias in the programming, you can see that in the way the formula is constructed. But just to have maybe four or five individuals determining the fate of multiple college football teams, that leaves too much human error and too much human bias in it.
It does. No question about it. This morning, Georgia sophomore running back Isaiah Crowell, who is considered one of the top running backs in the nation, definitely one of the top backs in the SEC, was arrested and is now facing three charges, including two felonies. And they all stem from him being pulled over, and there was a weapons arrest. It had to do with him carrying a concealed weapon as well as some other charges. So he is now in deep trouble. He has been suspended, as is Georgia's policy to do when someone faces an encounter like this, by the university. But does this impact, and I assume he will miss some time playing. I can't imagine why he would not at least miss a game or two. And we all know that Georgia goes to Columbia, Missouri on that second weekend of the year in the upcoming season. Is this going to really impact Georgia's season, Sears, I think is the question. A lot of people have them as the favorite to win the East. I'll say this, I haven't released my entire prediction set for the SEC yet, but I will say that I did not have Georgia as high as some others did, but a lot of people think they could win it.
I definitely think Georgia can win the SEC East with or without Isaiah Crowell. They had a bumper crop of running backs in the past two recruiting classes. So I think the smart thing for Mark Richt to do would be just to cut ties with Isaiah Crowell. If
really?
He wants to transfer someone, I think if he wants to transfer, let him transfer, as long as it's not another SEC school. He had an incident last year where he had to sit out a game for violation of team rules. Many people speculated it was due to some marijuana. The police report, when they stopped him, said they smelled marijuana in the car. They couldn't find any, but they had the smell of that. So I think he's going to be a problem child. This isn't the NFL. They're not the Cincinnati Bengals. Go ahead, cut ties. Let him go to Georgia State or Georgia Southern and let him play out his football career there. You don't want to let a bad apple stick around for too long because then he starts to ruin the rest of the bunch. And I feel that Mark Richt, a lot of people say he's a man of integrity. A lot of people say he's a man of high character.
He's a nice guy, I heard.
I think he should just let Isaiah Crowell go and dismiss him from the football team.
Well, you talk about transferring to another school in the SEC. There's a school not far that he might fit in well at. Oh, what was that? Okay, I'll retract that. forget it. I'll take back that I said that Isaiah Crowell would fit in well at Auburn. Just forget I said it.
I think that would be a smart move, and in the long run, that would benefit Georgia. Problem children tend to just be problem children. They don't really tend to get better.
Well, we've been previewing, you and I have, the SEC and the teams and how it will shake out this year. I think that's a good topic that we will discuss in detail as we move toward the college football season. David Sears is going to be with us on Fridays, heading up to and throughout the season. And we'll get into this, but you're right, it could have a big impact, and I think this is a crucial year for Mark Richt. I mean, he's hung on. Last year, he had the disastrous start of 0-2, and then won the last 10 games, so that was kind of covered over. Nobody really remembered those losses to Boise State and South Carolina at the beginning of the year, other than Georgia fans. But I think this is a big year for him. I mean, he kind of has the East. You know, Florida's down, Tennessee's down. It's all between South Carolina and Georgia, I think, and I think Mark Richt needs to pull it out this year.
I definitely agree with that. South Carolina unfortunately draws Arkansas, but that will be their toughest game from the West. Georgia has Auburn and Ole Miss from the West, so they have hardly any competition. They could afford to lose one East game and still win the division, but I feel that people want Mark Richt to produce. They want to see a national championship in Georgia. Everybody in the SEC is in the SEC East is pretty much down outside of South Carolina. We're not really sure what we'll get with Missouri, but if Georgia doesn't win the SEC East this year, and I'd say even win the SEC overall, it's going to be on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he will be on the hot seat, and I think he and Derek Dooley, I think it could be just a clean house year because Joker Phillips is also there. I think it could be just a clean house year in the SEC East after this season. We'll see. You and I both agree that Kentucky is headed for another doom and gloom season, so I think Kentucky's going to be looking for a new coach, and we all think Derek Dooley. I mean, it comes down to this for Dooley. He's got a couple of contests off the bat at home, I think against Florida in week three, and of course in Atlanta against North Carolina State in week one. He can't win those games and he's in trouble. So it will be an interesting year SEC coaching wise. Well, Sears, another good show. We have history made in college football as we move toward just, as I said, over 2 months until college football season begins. Looking forward to it. Can't wait.
I am too, Bun, and I look forward to joining you every Friday on your podcast.
It's great. This is the Bun Sports Show. I'm Jacob Bun from BunSports.com. A reminder, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Bun Sports or at Jacob Bun. And on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/BunSports is our page. And you can email us at mail@BunSports.com if you have a tip or a question. Everyone have a tremendous weekend. We'll be back next week. More previews upcoming. And as I said, Sears over on his site, the DavidSearsExperience.blogspot.com, is also previewing as well. So between the two sites, we should have you well covered by the time the 2012 college football season gets here. Everyone take care. Have a great weekend.